Tell me it's not true. Please tell me that what Gabriel told me is not true. Slowly, the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, turned round, looked, and let out a sigh. It was the kind of sigh that shook the stars from their courses and rearranged the planets. Then God's eyes caught sight of who it was who dared to rush in and interrupt all heavenly thought. Yep. Once again, it was Michael. What has Gabriel been saying this time? God asked kindly. He's not been teasing you again about leftover ribs on the barbecue or how many times you need to walk around a city wall before they collapse or how small a camel would need to be before it would fit through the eye of a needle. No, it's not any of those things, the Archangel Michael answered back. Michael's wings and armour rattled about as he jumped up and down, side to side, backwards and forwards, and then spun around. God looked at him and saw how anxious and animated he was. He wondered if on this occasion, perhaps Gabriel had really managed to upset Michael with something he had said. Letting silence and stillness surround him, God watched Michael with an all-knowing gaze. And finally, Michael stopped his hopping and jumping and anxious sighing. Once Michael was completely still, God finally asked, "What did Gabriel tell you, Michael?" "Well, I found him standing in front of his mirror as usual," Michael answered. "He was looking at the mirror, pulling faces, trying to look his least frightening. He kept saying, 'Do not be afraid,' over and over again and again with each of the face pulls he made. So, of course, I was intrigued and asked him what he was up to. And, you know, he can't keep a secret. And so it all came tumbling out. 'I can't believe that's your plan. I can't get my head round why you would do such a thing. Why in heaven and on earth would you think that sending your only child to a place of so much hurt and harm was a good thing? Gabriel says that you're going to send your child to live in the midst of poverty, hunger, and injustice. You don't have to do that. I could get a crowd of angels together and we could pour light into the darkness. They would never forget the noise of our arrival." In the silence, God looked at Michael, and for the tiniest of moments, it looked like a thunderstorm was brewing. The tirade of an archangel had not been a pleasing sound. As the moment passed, God shot back, "No, Michael, we are still going with Mary. You're going to rely upon an unwed, illiterate, impoverished teenager? That's just mad. Getting Gabriel involved is a recipe for a disaster when he shows up and shouts out, 'Do not be afraid,' in the middle of her kitchen. She'll be throwing herself out of her window and running through the town in an instant. Then, I think you're underestimating Mary's intelligence and her courage," God interjected, cutting off Michael in mid-tirade. "Look down below. I think Gabriel's just started his message." With those words, the Holy One's hands parted the clouds, allowing all the host of heaven a look at what was happening. "Hey, what's up, pretty lady?" Gabriel was shouting. "The big guy upstairs, well, do you know, he really likes you." Okay. Mary answered from her hiding place under the kitchen table. "Are you trying to sell me something?"
Because if you are, we've probably already got it. And if you're collecting, well, we were just down at the synagogue this morning making our offering. And by the way, I don't know how you got in here, but do you think you could go back out the same way? Now, chill, Mary. Gabriel was trying to sound cool as a cucumber while contorting his face to what he thought might look least frightening. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. I'm not collecting or selling anything. No, I'm here to congratulate you because you're going to have a baby and you're going to call him Jesus, which means God saves. It's a really good name for him because he's God's son. Like your ancestor David, he will be a king, but his kingdom will never come to an end. Mary was obviously frightened and very nervous. But through her trembling, she answered, "Are you supposed to be here? Are there people looking for you? Does your family know where you are? What do you mean I'm going to have a baby? Joseph and I are betrothed, but a baby wasn't quite what we were planning yet." "I mean it, Mary," Gabriel pleaded. "God has a plan of which you're part. If you don't believe me, ask Elizabeth. She's also expecting a baby." "I know about Elizabeth," Mary calmly said as she came out from under the table. "No one ever would have thought she could have a baby at her age." Standing up straight, Mary looked Gabriel straight in the eye. "You really do mean it, don't you?" she asked. "You really are from God, and I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah." Then, seeing the angel's simple nod, Mary looked to the sky and quietly said one word: "Yes." The scene in front of the heavenly audience was suddenly clouded once again as the angel host gasped in awe at Mary's answer. But Michael still wasn't convinced. "That's fine," he yelped. "She's a nice girl. She's even a brave young woman. But soon she'll think about what Joseph will think when he finds out she's pregnant. She'll think about how it would feel to be stoned to death when the town finds out. She'll run away in a second. And look," Michael continued, "as what happened on earth was suddenly again clear. She's already running off to hide with her family." Suddenly, God smiled and stepped closer to Michael to point at Mary as she entered her cousin's house. "I don't think she's running away, Michael," God said patiently and calmly. "Listen." "Mary!" Elizabeth's voice rang as she beamed with delight at her cousin. "What have I done to deserve a visit from the mother of the Messiah?" "My soul magnifies the Lord," Mary sang in reply. "And my spirit leaps with joy because of the one who saved us. For God's greatly blessed this humble child. For the one too great to name has done mighty things for me. God will bless us, our children, and our children's children, all who say yes to God's call. God's mighty arm will scatter the proud, bring down the powerful, and raise the lowly. God's love will feed those who are hungry and send those who are not away empty. God has remembered the promise to Israel, the promise that will never fail in every generation." For a long period of time, silence reigned in the courts of heaven as the vision of Mary and Elizabeth slowly faded away. Then finally, Michael spoke. "You are right, Lord. As usual, you are right. She is brave, and she'll be a wonderful mother for Jesus. But I still don't understand. Why? Why are you risking everything by sending Jesus to be the child of such a poor family, to risk the childhood deaths of all Earth's children? I know Mary will love your child, but the odds are so against her. Slowly, with a gentle smile on a mighty face, God stepped back from the sometimes troublesome archangel and watched him as each new thought played across his face. What was Mary's answer, Michael? God slowly asked. She said, "Yes," Michael replied. "That's right," God nodded. "She's poor, illiterate, unwed, and pregnant. She's risking being disowned by all those about her. And she knows being outcast would be but the beginning to a sudden and painful death." She knew all that. And still, she said yes. Just one yes, and the world has changed. Just one yes, and the darkness is gone forever. One day my child's people will cower in fear. One day they will feel that it is hopeless to go on. One day they will decide that everything is against them, that the way I call them to walk is a way that can't be travelled. When that day comes, the Lord God concluded, all my people will have to do is remember a teenage peasant girl. And as they remember, they'll see how even one person saying yes can change death into life. What do you say, Michael? The Lord quietly asked. Is my plan a good one? Yes, Michael replied. Yes. Amen.